A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can be the slave of two masters. He will either hate the first and love the second, or treat the first with respect and the second with scorn. You cannot be the slave both of God and money. That is why I am telling you not to worry about your life and what you are to eat, nor about your body and how you are to clothe it. Surely life means more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they are? Can any of you, for all his worrying, add one single cubit to his span of life? And why worry about clothing? Think of the flowers growing in the fields. They never have to work or spin, yet I assure you that not even Solomon in all his regalia was robed like one of these. Now, if that is how God clothes the grass in the field, which is there today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, will he not much more look after you, you men of little faith? So do not worry, do not say, 'What are we to eat? What are we to drink? How are we to be clothed?' It is the pagans who set their hearts on all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them all. Set your hearts on his kingdom first and on his righteousness, and all these other things will be given you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Like I said at the start, I think we can all resonate with those words from the last words of the Gospel. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. But a popular thing these days we hear, and particularly as we're aging, is about downsizing. We're clearing out. What's amazing is what we can gather over the years. If you've been in your house for a long time and you haven't moved, when you do come to, if it's your task to do it, you'll suddenly discover all sorts of things that you didn't really know about as well. So others, of course, clear out on a regular basis going along during the years. But of course, part of an accumulative society is part of the materialistic culture of today. And yet, if we only look back a short time into the early part, maybe, of the last century, you find that the majority of people didn't have either the room or the sheer number of children meant they didn't have time or money for all those possessions. And of course, most people didn't manage because of the shortage of room. You think lots of children in probably two or three rooms. The Gospel seems to take as its refrain that you are not your own possessions, your possessions own you. What you grasp becomes you. So, if you grasp God, you become like him. Grasp money, and you become a commodity. Of course, we know that life can't exist without money. We know that life as it is, we need it, and yet it's when it becomes the be-all and end-all of life that when we're based just on materialistic values that people are insecure and fretful and anxious. And that comes very strongly from that gospel, that people are worried, people are fretful, they are anxious. Jesus says, we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. And the tragedies we witnessed this last week on our screens bring that home to us. Because put our trust in our goods and our possessions and nothing else, then of course, what does that mean now to the people in Christchurch killed in the earthquake, maybe lost so much of their things, or the people, of course, that have been shot in the Middle East, or killed in those uprisings that are going on in Libya and elsewhere? And Jesus is warning that our possessions can threaten our undivided love for God. Our ultimate goal for all of us is life with God, life in his kingdom. But of course, for many of our contemporaries, God just doesn't come into the equation at all. But the kingdom of God life that Jesus lays before us there shows serenity, confidence, joy in all things, because its foundation is the love of God, from whose eye nothing is hidden, and in whose memory nothing is forgotten. And that first reading from Isaiah, very short, reminds us that even a loving mother can maybe forget her child, but it's not likely. But even if they do, says the Lord, I never forget you. Now, as you remember Cardinal Hume, one of the things he said was that God's always got his eyes on us. And he went on to say, not because he wants to catch us out, but because he loves us so much, he can't take his eyes off us. And we may be familiar with that image of loving God, but nevertheless, we can so easily forget it. And like the sun, it can be clouded out by the clouds of the whatever's going on in life around us, or the sin that we have can block out. But God's love is like that sun. It's always there. And so Jesus underlines that by plucking images that he was probably sitting on that hillside talking to people, and he sees the birds flying around. Because if you spoke to the birds, they might not say, yes, he does feed us, but we've got to do some work for it. Of course they do. They've got to fly around. They've got to ferret about looking for it. It doesn't just drop onto their beaks from on high. And that's a reminder for us too. Or the flowers in the flowers of the field, that we tend and care for them so that they're clothed. But of course the Lord clothes them. But it's God nurturing creation. How much more his regard for us who are made in his image and likeness. And that's what the Lord is saying. We're made in his image and likeness. God looks after the creation. We are the crown of that creation. So he said, set your hearts on his kingdom. All these other things will be given to you. And so if our lives are centered on seeking first the kingdom of God, on God himself, their prayer being, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, then there will no be to be anxious or fretful as we confidently ask, give us this day our daily bread.